One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for tuning back into the show. With me, as always, is the usual guys, Dave and Bobby.
What's up?
I'm Ryan. If you don't know me by now, you ain't never, ever going to know me. So, we're coming live from my garage, early week episode. Listen, I know that the last episode we talked about some bad shows, and we're an eclectic podcast. I don't want this to become the Bad Comedy Shows podcast, although better show.
The Bad Comedy Shows podcast?
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Alan Anderson's doing one just like that. I was just on it called Thank God It's Over. It's a good show. But anyway, I got to mention this. Bobby, I heard some whisperings. You didn't even tell me. But this is a very small city.
Right.
I heard some whisperings at this open mic that you run. Someone had to be fucking escorted out or asked to leave something.
Close.
Someone
close.
Threatened to shoot up the place?
Yeah. So here's
the walk me, through this.
It wasn't me.
Here is the best part about this story.
You
is
sent him.
This mic has been kind of the bane of our existence because we thought this would be a great room. It turned out it's been one of the hardest rooms we've ever
Bobby,
run.
Bobby, what have I told you about trusting your instincts?
Yeah.
Stop
yeah.
it.
Ever.
Just any... talk to me or DeGear and to a lesser extent, Dave. Stop with your own ideas.
But we run this room for like, I don't know, 5 months now. And every one of those shows has been murder to try and do. Like just trying to get the crowd on your side. It's really, really hard. Lo and behold, the stars align last Saturday after we tape. We go in. I don't know if it's because I showed up early and put some signs up. Maybe it's just the right people were walking by. All of a sudden, as this show's starting, I look at my partner, Damien, and I go, dude, there's like 40 people here, and they're all paying attention.
Wow.
So it was...
very uncharacteristic of that room.
Incredibly
that's
uncharacteristic.
That's not only good for that room. That's good for any bar show.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
In the country.
Absolutely.
There was even this young lady who's like a year in, and she ended up biting the bullet. I mean, she went first. It was her first time there, and she's like, what a great room. And I was like, no, it's not. This is a complete aberration.
Don't let this color your perception. It's not like this.
Right. So anyway.
So as we're getting ready, I get there early, and I set everything up, and then Damien kind of shows up a little bit later, and he runs soundboards. And as he comes in, he points and he goes, because Damien goes to a lot more mics than I do. And he goes, Bobby, let me talk to you something. There's a guy sitting there. Did he sign up? And I said, yeah, he signed up. And he goes, so he's a bit of a problem in the community. He's been banned from all the clubs.
That's hard to do.
Yes.
You can not get booked, but getting banned, that takes something. We are in a profession where people just go up there and start rattling off about AIDS.
Right.
Using slurs like, oh, these tranny faggot AIDS for the survivors. You know, they just everything. And that doesn't get you banned.
Right.
So I am curious to know.
Oh, my gosh. And so I was like, really? And he goes, yes. And then it culminated 2 weeks ago at Go Lounge, which is also like a comic room.
A bar
like,
show.
Yeah, it is a bar show that... I'm pretty sure people openly do cocaine at, and nobody's saying a word.
Where was it?
Like, Go Lounge.
All right.
Yeah, like, it's one of those shows, it's great, because it's run by another comic, and they just kind of give you a lot of leeway, and they go, not only did he get kicked out because he was interrupting other people's sets, he was sitting right in the front and, like, screaming and yelling and stuff, he got asked to leave 6 times before he refused to go. And Damien and Mikey Gordon had to physically lift him, kicking and screaming, and drag him out of the venue.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Wasn't that guy I talked about a few episodes ago that was like, no! No!
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. But that was up in Orange County, LA area.
No, this was here.
Oh, my God. Okay, so he's kicking and screaming, got thrown out of the Go Lounge.
Yes.
Now he's at your show.
Now he's at our show. And I go, well... you know, everybody's got a bad night every once in a while.
Not that bad.
And he's got dozens.
Yeah, and he's like, he's been banned from every club. And I was like, all right, well, you know, let's see how it goes. So again, first young lady up. She's brand new. She goes up. She does pretty well.
How is this guy even finding these rooms?
Yeah, right?
I don't know. Then, lo and behold, he's drawn as the second person.
Okay.
Yeah, get him out of the way.
We do a random draw out of a bucket. So it's just the luck of the draw.
Now, let me ask you... because if the answer is what I think it is, you fucked up already. Huh. Does everyone get to go, or does some people that put their name in the bucket, like, sorry?
Unless there's way more people, everybody gets to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all right. I see where you're going with that. But even if somehow he didn't get to go, I feel like that would be worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the scene he would cause. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So he gets up, and he starts talking about, like, video games. And I was like, okay. I was looking at Damien. I was like, there's no joke here, and this isn't funny. But
well, that's an open mic, so that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. Right. But, like, whatever, it's he's talking about video games. I can't relate. I'm not a big video game guy, but fine, whatever. Maybe somebody enjoys this. And there is some loud, not quite hecklers, but the audience members who are drunk and they're not heckling you as much as they are thinking they're participating. You say, "Yeah, I've been playing this video game." They're like, "Yeah, I love that game. Yeah.
Oh, dude, have you ever played Mortal Kombat Trilogy? It's the N64.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like all the games, only." There's actually a new character in it. You know, just not helping.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is actually heckling, but they don't think it is. They're not doing it with bad intentions. They're just wasted and dumb. So there is a table with a guy who is doing that. All of a sudden, this guy, 25 seconds into his set, goes off. He starts yelling, "Fuck you, faggot. Don't you fucking talk." He starts screaming at him. I'm terrified because the guy he's yelling at is black, and I'm waiting for a racial slur to drop.
Well, honestly, and this was just told to me by our good buddy Adam Connie, calling a black man gay is almost worse than the N-word in that community.
Yes.
It's just a thing.
Absolutely.
If you want a black guy to fight you, the N-word's not the way to go. Faggot is the way to go. So save that clip for my sage advice.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I write that down in my moleskin of advice I'm giving to my son later on.
Yeah, make sure that's on my tombstone.
So anyway, he starts going off, and I look at Damien, and I'm like, uh-oh, this seems bad. And
Now, let me ask you this. Is he trying to be, like, edgy, like, hey, fuck you? Or is he, like, looking like he wants to fight,
sounds
too?
Sounds like he's legitimately
he's
angry.
He's looking like he wants to fight. And I am worried that this might become a fight.
And now I saw a picture of this kid. He's like a scrawny young Asian kid or something.
That is what I thought. He's not that, he's like a regular build. He's not, I wouldn't call him scrawny. He's a fairly tall dude.
Compared to me, is he?
About the same height. Not as much muscle build, but not, I wouldn't call him scrawny. I'd actually say he looks like he's in really good shape.
Okay, okay.
And then I later find out when I went on to see kind of who he was, that he is a wrestler and a martial arts guy. And so I was like, maybe it's good that there was no fight.
Oh, so this kid does martial arts too?
Yes.
Oh.
And yet he was carried out of a bar.
I don't know. He was part of his college wrestling team or group martial arts group. So I don't know how competitive that particular school is. So, but let's give him that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, this is getting bad. And he's screaming at the guy. And then he goes off.
What's the rest of the people in the crowd doing?
Everybody's feeling super uncomfortable. Super uncomfortable. I'm doing the thing where I'm actually in the little DJ booth and I'm getting ready to, like, okay, I might have to pop up and get in between these guys. Like, this is my deal is, like, I'm about ready to go. I kind of give Damien the signal, like, we have a second mic behind the boards. I'm like, in case this goes bad, get ready to jump on that mic and explain to everybody that it's okay and we've got it and that kind of thing. So as he starts yelling at it, now he's yelling at this guy, and he takes it one step further. And instead of yelling like, fuck you, faggot, I'm going to kick your ass, and blah, 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 all of a sudden he starts yelling, I fucking hate all of you. I want to come in and shoot every one of you in the fucking face. You know what's stopping me? Nothing. Nothing. I don't want to get punished. If I thought I could get away with it, I would walk into this fucking room and shoot every single one of you in the face. And he is serious and pissed.
Standing ovation.
He's got a vein bulging out of his forehead. Uh-huh. He's yelling. He's super mad. And I'm looking at David. I'm like, I really hope this is a Kaufman-esque thing where it flips at the end and he has a punchline to it.
Ryan, I just want to point out, Bobby wants to give this guy a weapon.
No, only
Make
the winners.
No mistake.
Only the winners of Kumite get weapons, Dave.
You let him enter. He could win. You want to give this kid a weapon.
So he keeps going. And again, the sets are short. They're only 3 minutes. But he started in on this guy 30 seconds in. And he probably started in on his, I'm going to shoot everybody in this bar at about a minute something. So he does about 2 minutes of, I'm going to kill everybody here in a very serious tone.
Now, let me ask you, does this end with the music coming on?
Yeah, I was just saying, do you let him go?
Does it go, and with you
well,
taking,
he's got
the mic
a left.
Taking the mic, and if so, do you say awkwardly, okay, give it up for your last comment? Or does he say, thanks very much?
No. It is, we give him the light, and then as he's going, he's just fuming. He's like, well, I guess that's my fucking time. and he gets off stage. Now, by the way, I should have known because we do in the
He respected the light?
Wow. Yes.
What?
Yes. Take right. notes, Russell Hicks. Right. Yeah, so he did that. Which
My
is,
favorite part is Bobby didn't cut him short.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
I was hoping he'd flip it at the end. I thought it was a big closer. I don't know. By the way, I should have known something was wrong because we do a system, like I said, where I pull a name out and then I go, all right, this person's next on deck.
And his
then,
name was written in blood.
Yeah. I say, this person's next on deck, but for your next comedian, blah, 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 blah. And then I invite that guy up.
This so, next guy's been kicked out of all the major rooms in town. He's not allowed at one of them.
After the young lady who had gone first went, then I went up to go do that. And I'm like, okay, next on deck. And before I could do that, he's already on stage standing right next to me at the microphone. And I was like, all right, Brad, I just gotta pull the next name out real quick if you just want to stop there. Instead of, like, backing off stage or being off, he just stands right next to me for the rest of the... As I'm like, okay, next on deck will be Brendan Fisher for now. Give it up. He's right here. He's just... Right, yeah. He eerily stands over my shoulder.
Go. You want to give this kid a weapon. Okay. Jesus.
I want to fight him.
So what was interesting, though, is, like you said, he is half Asian. Just, again, by luck of the draw, the next four comics were all Asian, and everyone got to riff on it, because they all, every single one was just like, hey, guys, like, I think Mike DeVore came up next, and he's like, hey, I don't know how to follow that. I'm the friendly kind of Asian.
Nice job, DeVore. Nice job,
yeah,
DeVore.
And there was, and then there was literally, like, three other Asians, like, right afterwards, and everyone got to riff on it, so I guess that part is cool. He just went back to the comics area, where all the other comics were, and he just sat
like
down
nothing happened
and looked at his phone and didn't make contact with anybody for the next hour.
Oh, so he still thought he might win.
I guess.
Jesus. Of course. He was checking to see if Postmates will deliver a gun.
Or ammo. I feel like he already had the gun.
Yeah,
he
was fresh out of shells.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now, when you announced the winner, did you look disappointed that it wasn't him?
You know what? We didn't even do the vote at the end of that one. We were like, we just need to empty this fucking room quickly, because when we're like, all right, see you guys, and he leaves, as soon as he left, like 15 people left the club immediately, because they're like, he's going to his car to get a fucking gun, and everybody just cleared out. Because that show, almost after that show, all the comics stick around, we all talk, we chat, they give us free drinks, we hang out, it's a good time. Mike Coppolino was the only one who stuck around at the end, because he didn't give a fuck about dying.
I welcome the sweet release of death.
It was crazy. I have been to a lot of open mics. I have hosted hundreds of open mics. I have never seen that. I have never seen anything like that. It was absolutely unique, quite terrifying, and I think I'm still a little worried about it.
There you go. Cross that off the bucket list.
Yeah.
Good shit.
I later got contacted. I guess some people have been concerned about it. And in addition to banning him from clubs, there are people who have filed a report or two. And they were like, just so you know, file the report with the cops. They know about it. And I was like, all right, just keep my name off of it.
Yeah, that'll do a lot of good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they just don't want to be the guys who are like, you know, like later on when the news is interviewing, I'm like, yeah, oh, I expected him to shoot people. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that... every time I see a mass shooting now, it's like, oh, yeah, the police knew well about him.
Yeah.
He also bought it legally despite that. Anyway, speaking of cops, our good buddy Steve Wilkos just got a DUI.
Was that the guy from Jerry Springer?
That was the security guard, former cop, turned security guard for Jerry Springer, turned own talk show host.
Right.
They just said, hey, who wants to hear what the security guard from Jerry Springer has to say about all these issues?
And enough people said, I guess I do.
Yeah. And we, just to recap who Steve Wilkos is, if you've been employed in the last 20 years, you don't know, but he's daytime TV sensation Steve Wilkos. He's got the same format as almost all daytime TV, which is, I'm going to have a wispy little maybe meth head 19-year-old on who's impregnated like three girlfriends, and then I'm going to yell at him. So, like, that's it. Like, okay, so, all right, so we got this overweight white girl. All right, cool. We've got this very sad-looking black girl. All right, great. You're both pregnant by Brandon, and then this dude with, like, a little pube mustache and an ill-fitting shirt walks out and goes, yeah, dog. And fucking Steve Wilkos gets in his face and goes, you don't fucking treat a lady like that. Get off my set. He's so psyched he has a set to throw people off of.
He before wasn't his job on Jerry Springer. He would just run up in between two people who were trying to fight about who got mistaken for the wrong baby mama.
Right, right. You know, we would have a weightlifting Jewish man, and then like a very scrawny KKK guy would walk out, full robe. Do the Heil. Yeah. The guy would rush him. There's Steve Wilkos. Get off my set. So anyways, he's always, we talked about him on the show before. I know we did. It must have been 2 years ago. But like, he's always just in people's face, trying to be like this pillar of morality. Just always, like, you can see the spit flying out of his mouth. I'm not judging. It happens to me. But he's just always in someone's face like, you don't hit your girlfriend over the head with a skillet full of baked beans on Christmas morning. That's not how you treat a lady. Get off my set!
Which is ironic.
Throwing chairs.
Is there anybody who has tackled more ladies than Steve Wilkos?
Yeah, right. Right.
That's how you treat a lady.
You don't make your girlfriend go up on the roof and re-shingle your fucking apartment building and then throw her off the fucking roof into a patch of cacti! So you treat a lady! Get off my set! So anyway, he got DUI.
That's hilarious.
I would love to see this guy who fancies, first of all, former cop.
Yeah.
So if you're a former, if you're a cop, don't break any rules because you're automatically a hypocrite. Right. If you don't want to be a cop, that's fine. All right. I do recreational drugs.
Yeah.
I do a lot of things that are illegal.
Yep.
But I'm also not a cop.
Yep.
So anyways, first of all, if you ever break the law, you're a hypocrite if you choose that profession. Second of all, pillar of morality. He always yells at people for things like this.
Well, I do find it funny, too.
Kill him in my car!
His argument should be, no. I saw two cops fighting, and I tried to jump in the middle, and I turned out to be drunk. I wasn't driving a car.
No. Yeah, so I'm just curious about people that do that. I wouldn't think of Steve Wilkos, because I kind of like the guy.
Right.
Who I expect this from is the super Christian politician.
Sure.
That's just gays are disgusting.
Yep.
And then fast forward to 9 months later, he's tapping his foot under a bathroom stall at the airport. That's who I expected from.
Well, there's huge overlap in between criminal psyche and police psyche. Like, that's one of the things they say is a lot of the people go one of two ways, but it's the same type of person who is both a criminal or a police officer.
I saw The Departed. I know what's up.
Yeah, like it is a lot like The Departed. In fact, that's one of the reasons. A lot of people don't know this. Did you know that you have an IQ test to be a police officer that you will fail if you get too high?
I've heard that.
I have heard that, but I thought it
sounds
might...
like an Urban Legend kind of thing.
No, yeah. It's not at all. It is actually one, and there's a Supreme Court ruling about it because they sued a jurisdiction in Michigan.
Michigan cops! I just got the pee shivers.
And it went all the way to the Supreme
Imagine
Court.
Those guys.
And it was a guy who was like, yeah, I'm a smart dude, but I want to be a cop. I want to help my community. And they're like, sorry. They want you just slightly above average. So they want about 104.
That's some paint for a few months.
Yeah,
come back to us.
Exactly. And he came in at like 120-something, and they're like, no, you're too smart. You do not qualify to be a cop. You are too smart. And he's like, that's a bullshit answer. And their argument is, it kind of makes sense, which is the type of person who's a cop is actually the same type of person who's a criminal. It is a very thin line. And if you are smart, you will know how to game the system. We already know you're halfway to being a criminal when you sign up to be a police officer. The last thing we need is a smart motherfucker doing it.
I don't know why, but I just thought about... I just thought about one of these closeted super right-wing Christian politicians tapping his foot in a bathroom and having it be accidentally Steve Wilkos on the other side of that wall. A fucking bald, enraged head slides in under the stall. Hey! You don't fucking solicit a hand job at the Chicago O'Hare Airport! Get out of my bathroom!
I was just thinking the whole IQ thing. That now it makes a lot more sense to me why Bobby likes to impersonate a cop so often.
Yeah, that's right. I could never
be one.
No,
so
I can't.
He's like, you know what?
I literally can't, though, because it's funny because they'll look at your records. Like, they will look at just same way they'll look at whether or not you graduated high school and stuff. That is in your records. And they'd be like, sorry.
So you can't even throw it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay.
Nice.
Oh, you can't take a dive in the fucking police test. That's funny. I know we're jumping around a bit, but Dave, speaking of wacko comics, you got a...
I saw an email that a comic had posted, a guy that we all know. Yeah, I know him fairly well. You guys, I think, know who he is. But he posted an email to Facebook And it was basically, it was a sort of a rejection email from a booker.
Get fucking used to it.
Right. But
whoever you are.
It wasn't even a bad rejection. It was like, I saw the tape you submitted, didn't really care for the material. My rooms are a little more conservative. So, I mean, that's not really the style I'm looking for. And I'm kind of booked up this year anyways. So he posts that for all his friends to like pile on, be like, ah, what if you'd want to fucking do that show?
Don't sell out,
send
man.
Him a dirtier tape. Do but more dick jokes.
Hold on, let me ask, because I didn't actually read this post. Was the goal of this to trash the person, the promoter who wrote this? Because
pretty much,
it
yeah.
seemed.
Because what's the alternative? You think you get accepted to everything you
that
submit
to? That was my thought. Like, and that's the frustrating thing as a comic. Like, a lot of these people, like, I know the comic who posted it. I know a lot of the people commenting on it. So just watching them all pile on, like, fuck that booker, blah, you don't need that, whatever. I'm like, you're not a booker's not going to like everybody.
Right. You should,
what's the big deal?
You should expect 9 times out of 10 to get rejected. That's
yeah,
the whole point
absolutely.
Of entertainment
you know,
industry.
You know what's funny? Is,
and it wasn't even a bad rejection.
Yeah, no, I read the thing. I'm like, they even at the end said, but send me another clip and I'll take another look. I'm like, first of all, they didn't like you and still responded?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rare as a steak you yeah. want to yeah. eat.
You got a response and it didn't even have the N-word in it.
Number two, they didn't like you and they asked for another tape to give you a second chance?
Right. Yeah.
This has never happened to me. They either liked me or they've said, I just saw red and never responded.
But to me, it's weird because it's like, with that mindset, if you extrapolate that out, that means like if they sent a clip to NBC and they're like, sorry, we're not accurate, they'd be like, fuck these guys.
That's what I said to Ryan before the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, like that's what frustrates me so much in the comic community is too many people are like unwilling to be objective with their friends.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's
yes, that is a, by the way, that is a big problem, is there's not enough brutal honesty. There's not enough people who have the guy next to him that goes like, hey, that joke, yeah, it fell flat. And they'll be like, oh, no, I thought it was kind of good. No, it fell flat. It was bad. Take it out of your act.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's why we make such good friends, is because right. everyone, none of us are afraid to be like,
yes.
that was garbage. You did poorly. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I think it's how you were raised. I know a lot of friends like this. Like, I have a lot of good friends, and one of the qualifications of them is everybody's got a thick skin because we all grew up with other people going, that sucks. Just do better next
you
time.
You know what? That you already answered my next question, because I've always found this anomaly to be very surprising, which is the comics with the thinnest skin, or anyone in entertainment with the thinnest skin, are usually fucking losers.
Yeah.
they have no job, they've never had a win in their life, and yet when they get rejected like that, they're like, what the fuck? No, you're fucking haters! And that's weird to me, because Bobby is a guy that I would expect to be like that, because he got into at least your first or second choice
yeah,
of college.
Sure.
All right, you got that. Then he got into his dream career on the first try. I would expect him to go into comedy, taste defeat for the first time professionally, and go, no, it's not fair. What is the system is rigged. Get off my set. Oh, wait, different guy.
He actually still does that after shows.
Yeah,
Bobby reacts that
but
way.
But Bobby's like, well, that's how it goes. Sometimes you win some, you lose some. A guy that's never tasted defeat before comedy. Then you get a guy that's literally never had a win in his life. He's never had a job. No application from Taco Bell has ever called back. he barely got through high school. The junior college was like, we usually don't reject people, but
it's actually illegal for us to do this.
Yeah. But then he gets into comedy and he's like, what is this? I'm being rejected. No. I'm like, how are you not used to this, man?
You got
to
reject your kids a lot. That's my motto. That's what I've learned growing up. I'm going to do that to my son. You have to have that. I mean,
Bobby's mom wouldn't even learn his language.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. She's in this country for 50 years, doesn't know the language. Yeah, that's what I mean is like, if you think about it, you know, I came from a martial arts background just like you. If you don't get used to losing, you better get the fuck out of martial arts because you are going to lose for the first few
Ronda
years.
Ronda Rousey, what?
Like, well, yeah, but that's...
Yeah, but she lost when she was young and a little kid. Like,
no, but she responded so poorly
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's right, because she didn't have enough losing in her background.
Well,
yeah.
No, that's why... That's a great point. That's why I would expect a guy like Bobby, who just had enough natural ability with success in other fields...
Right.
to, you know, melt down at his first rejection in comedy. Because Ronda Rousey, she just had a natural ability, an amazing pedigree, and so she just never lost almost her whole life. Right. You know, and if she did, it was like, you get a silver instead of a gold. Not like you get nothing, get out of here. Yeah. So she didn't really taste defeat until the whole world got to see it.
Yeah.
And not, well, not only did I get my ass kicked in front of a lot of people many times, which happened on a public stage.
Sure.
And not only did I have that in my background, and I grew up with a very harsh group of friends who were all too comfortable to make fun of you nonstop and call you on your shit and all that. But I'm from a field, which is science. And when you're in science, half the thing is rejecting your ideas. Half the thing is saying, I'm going to put forth this hypothesis. Here it is. Here is my idea. And then having other super smart people shoot it down for things that you missed.
Bonnie said, I'm sure there's a mummy under this dirt. And then 5 hours later, I hit a gas line. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I remember like being on a field school in Peru, like first field school ever. And I remember there was this thing where they were trying to find how this one aqueduct worked in this Incan tombo that we were working on.
Snooze fest. Next story.
I was able to figure it out really quickly. Felt super pumped up about myself. 2 days later, I go kind of up into the mountains, find this whole big thing, this whole big kind of complex that wasn't that well recorded. I come back, I report it all, I tell him what I think is going on, and there's this Peruvian archaeologist there who's been doing this for 40 years. He looks at me and goes, no, you're completely wrong. This is a tribune area. This is not a living quarters. This was sparsely. He just basically tore my entire thing apart after I sat there excitedly saying, hey, you know how I found that thing out the other day? Look, I got something else. And that's the way it is with science. It's like every day you show up, there's somebody there to prove you wrong, to point out your mistakes. And guess what? When it comes to science, that person is usually fucking smart and they've thought of something you haven't thought of. So if you don't have that thick skin in either science or martial arts, get the fuck out.
Until you said the smart thing, I was like, Ryan, I think you and I missed our calling. We should be scientists. We're shooting down ideas left and right.
Yeah, we just sit there and shit on everyone. Yeah. Speaking of which, another thing that came across our desk is this guy, there's a lot of comic groups. We've talked about him before. One guy put out there, a couple people forwarded it to me. He's like, hey, everyone, I decided to make comedy a career, so give me your best tips on
how to book road gigs.
How to book road gigs, please. Thanks. Any help is appreciated. I'd like to make money by this time next year.
At what level was this person?
It looks like maybe just off open mics.
Really?
That's what I don't know.
Hard
the kid
to tell from the post.
Yeah, but well, no. It's very easy to tell the post. Because if you've done this for more than 2 years, you know that you sound like a goddamn retard by saying those words. But anyway, sorry for using the R word. New Year's resolution. I'm trying not to say that word.
Be a better person.
I'm trying not to use that
word
anymore.
That's only March.
I absolve you.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm giving myself five of those per year, okay? I get 5 R words per year. I just used one of them.
You're already at 17, man. I don't know.
And the thing is, everyone's trying to be like, just do you, man. Try and try again. Never give up. I'm like, all right, everyone here that just read a self-help book and has never had any mileage to go along with their fucking mouth, shut up. I chimed in. I'm like, first, get yourself a good-paying job to finance your first 4 years on the road because they're fucking expensive.
Right.
You will come home with less money than you started out with, and then maybe if you do enough networking and impressing people in those 4 years when you're just hemorrhaging money, post again. I'll tell you what to do after that.
Here's one. How about this? This is actually, I think this would be pretty good advice. If you want to be a traveling comic and you are not yet at that level and you really want to set yourself up to be that, sell all your shit and buy a fucking van and start driving around. Because guess what? Then you don't have to pay rent. You don't have to worry about your overhead. And you don't need an excuse to get on the road and go do something.
Well, you know, that's...
Somebody posted that too. And then someone commented underneath it like, yep, it's that easy. And I disagree. That's a fucking retarded idea. There's
well,
one
at least
mine.
Then you
that
could tour around and do open mics and you wouldn't have to pay for hotels or anything. Like, you just, you know, park near the venue, go do your thing and come and sleep in the van.
No, that's a terrible idea.
go get a van.
Okay. Let me walk you through that, uh-huh. Bobby. All right. So you show up to fucking Flagstaff, Arizona to hit that mic, right?
Yep.
You impress people.
Yep.
Okay. You get back in your van. They forget your fucking name. It was all for nothing.
Right, but at least you're not dropping a whole bunch of cash on plane tickets, hotel rooms.
I'm gonna amend Ryan's take on that scenario. You're not gonna impress anybody because you're doing open mics and no one gives a shit. No one's paying attention.
Yeah, there's no one there. You just drove from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Flagstaff, Arizona, and there's zero people at this mic. It was all for nothing.
Yeah, you can, there will be times
Why
like that.
Why are you arguing with me on this?
There will be times like that, undoubtedly. What I'm saying is, if you want to make this a budget event and not have to pay for hotel rooms, if you want to go on tour in year two of your comedy career, then maybe don't book a whole bunch of Southwest flights and a bunch of rooms at La Quinta. Instead, go ahead and just find a way to do it real cheap.
Well, all right, if you're really going to break down my advice, fine, let me get... Let me show you how to actually do it. You get yourself a good paying job. I mean, 35 grand or above, okay? It's got to be that. And then you have to be in your early 20s because you're going to have to be able to keep that job and then go on these road gigs and come back the same night and fucking do it. See, this is why people get so pissed off at the newbies. I've had this question so many times. They're like, why do comics always like shit on newbies who don't know any better? Hey, they gotta start somewhere, man. They don't know any better. You know, that's not really fair. You were once a guy that didn't know anything. Fair enough. But I never had the arrogance to say, hey, guess what? I've decided to make this my career.
Right.
You know what? And so I think the reason that comics get so offended when newer guys are, you know, have this arrogance like, hey, I've decided to make a lot of money at this is because I think back to the fact that I gave this my 20s. I gave it to him. And I started when I was 23, and it wasn't even like the shitty broke 20s, which I just had all to myself. I started when it was supposed to be great. When you first get you're out of college, you get your first paying job. You have new money, you have no kids, no wife, no responsibilities. Given I had a lot of fun during those times, I made some stupid purchases, but when everyone else was going out, you know, after every night at work and partying and being able to fucking go to bed at 1 a.m. and then get up at 9 and be fine, I was using that stamina to drive to fucking L.A., do 8 minutes, come back with $80 less than I started out with, wake up at fucking 8 a.m., go to work at 9, have everyone see my tired, shitty, hungover face and go, hey, someone had a good night. Who's a lucky lady? And just be boiling inside like, I played a bar for
Don't assume my gender.
Fucking people.
Yeah. Wait, by the way, do you like, if you think about this, what Ryan is saying is I put so much into this and these guys are essentially co-opting that by just announcing what they're going to do. So he's really pissed because essentially they're using stolen valor on him.
You know what? Maybe a little bit. Yeah. You know?
No, I think it boils down to it's just the utter lack of common sense. It's like, to put this in a perspective, maybe you can wrap your head around, Bobby. You're on the boxing team in college.
Right.
Like, this is like the freshman walking into the boxing gym and saying, how do I challenge for the title?
not the college title. World title.
I'm going to be a world title fighter. Yeah, no, I mean...
I don't want it tomorrow. I want it now-ish.
No, I see what you're saying. I think, too, a lot of it comes from my own self. Kind of what we were talking about before, about how we take a lot of shit and it's fine and that's kind of part of doing it, is the idea that, man, I would have never had the self-esteem to announce this 18 months into just doing open mics. Like, guys, I'm just going to do this professionally from now on. Like, I would have never had the gall. Even if I thought that was a possibility, if I woke up from a blackout and saw that I had written that on Facebook, I would delete my Facebook.
Right. And I have written many of things in a blackout and just slightly remember when I woke up, like 10 minutes after I woke up on, and like dove for my phone. Right. But that's the thing. People are always saying, why do veteran comics get so down on the newbies? Because they're being arrogant, and they're maybe showing an arrogance that I maybe didn't display.
Right.
I was arrogant in some ways, but it wasn't with the fucking delusion that I can just do this because I'm so fucking talented.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, especially in terms of like other people seeing it for the first time. I have two nieces that are 8 and 6, and I have essentially lived with them or next door to them since they were born. So they've grown up knowing me their entire lives, and we have very close relationships. They recently went to like a community center that had a comedy show. Patrick DeGeer, who's a good friend of ours, he was there on it. Dustin Nickerson, who's a famous kind of clean comic around town, he was on it as well. And they went to this comedy show at 6 and 8. They didn't really understand what a comedy show was, but they know I do stand-up. And so they're sitting there watching it. My favorite is that at one point the 6-year-old goes to her mom and says, when does the movie start? And she's like, that's not what this is.
Where's the popcorn?
Yeah, they do it a little bit. And then at the end, the 8-year-old turns to her mom and goes, I'm confused. I thought you said Bobby did this stuff. And she's like, he does. And she's like, but he's not funny at home. I was like, fucking burned by my 8-year-old niece.
Nice. Classic.
Yeah, I hope DeGear takes that with him. He's like, the niece is just like, yeah, that guy, he knows what he's up to.
Nice.
Let's get her on the show.
Yeah.
All right, let's call it a week, you guys. Before we go, this will be, I think, is this the last show before the landing?
This is the landing show.
All right, next show we're going to do is going to be live at the landing. We have decided to do at least a little bit of a live podcast.
Yep, March 15th.
March 15th. We really want you to be there. It would mean a lot if you got there. And you know what? If you're not there, we'll never fucking do a live podcast again. That's it. That's right. We're closing up shop on this whole podcast.
I am going to say this because I am famous at the Kumite for giving away weapons. I'm going to give away one surprise weapon to one of the listeners who shows up to the podcast.
Oh, no shit.
There is going to be a live podcast giveaway. I'm not going to announce how it might be Degenerates Trivia. Who knows the most about Degenerates? I'm not sure. We will find a way. We are going to give away one weapon to one of the people who show up to this podcast.
Oh, my God. Fingers crossed that kid you kicked out of the Kumite listens to this.
He is going to give away 8 free bullets as they spew out of the front of his gun. All right. So anyway, March 15th, the landing in El Cajon. We really hope you're there. This has been Ryan for Bobby and Dave saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. You don't hit your girlfriend over the head with a skillet full of baked beans on Christmas morning. Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by. Hey, you don't fucking solicit a hand job at the Chicago O'Hare Airport.